And good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the morning show right here at 88.5 KRFY. And it is Wednesday, June 20th. And again, I'm looking up at the skylight and it is a beautiful day out there. I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts of the morning show.
And I'm your co-host over here, Susie, Chris Bessler. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. It's a glorious day out there. I just came in from outside and I'll testify, it's beautiful.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect, yeah.
And last night I noticed that you always talk about the stars and the moon. There was Jupiter and then the moon over on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
So
the sky has got many treats for us now.
That's absolutely right. And we have a great show this morning. We have a lot going on. We have two guests. You want to tell about our guests?
Well, we're going to be talking first with Bert Houts. He is with the Lake Pendere Toastmaster, and he's in here right now. Bert, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah. And then for the second part of our show, down around the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Gene Girth from 350.org in to tell us about some things they have going on.
And that's right. It's 350sandpoint.org, and Gene is one of the organizers. So
yeah,
a little bit of this and a little bit of that this morning, and some music. There's a lot of birthdays out there of famous musicians, so we'll get to hear some good music.
So we'll play some music, too. Mm-hmm. But first, it's a pretty perfect day out there right now. Susie, what's going to be happening weather-wise for the next few days?
You want the weather. Is that it? Okay, I will pull that up.
You just say nice.
It's going to be really nice. How's that for like a long time? We're currently at 61 degrees, mostly sunny today with a high of 83. Light and variable winds only at 5 miles per hour in the afternoon, and the weather just disappeared on me. Here it comes again. Okay, tonight a low of 59, and tomorrow, Thursday, and Thursday night, a 60% chance of heavy rain. High of 74 and a low of 56. And Friday, Saturday, also Sunday, sunny, 81. So there's a little bit of rain in our forecast, 60 to 30% chance. But on Thursday and Thursday night, it looks like could have some rain.
It's kind of some classic June weather there. Other things going on outside. Sunrise this morning was at 4:45 a.m. The sun will set tonight at 8:50 p.m. And it's my duty to inform you that we are approaching the longest day of the year, which is actually summer solstice. And the summer solstice itself comes at 3:07 a.m. tomorrow, June 21st. So that's our longest day of the year.
It's a good day, and it's also a kind of other day where we start going the other way.
Yeah, and I'm going to stop talking about this, longer days, because it's not going to be longer anymore. Every day is going to be a little bit shorter till we get
to And we don't want to hear that till about October.
Yeah, we'll start in on that like in October, but we're going to have a gorgeous summer, I'm sure. Other things going on outside, the lake is steady at 2062.35 feet. It's actually come up about 0.4 of a foot. They drew it down a little bit to accommodate some of that spring runoff we still have to come, but it'll probably stay right around this level from here on out through the rest of the summer. And things going on around town. There are things going on around town.
Well, today, every Wednesday, it's the farmer's market Farman Park. I think it starts at 3 o'clock and goes to 5:30. Let's make sure that, 3 to 5:30. And, of course, every Saturday, and it is full of food right now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Those farmers have been busy.
It's a little street fair every Wednesday and Saturday. Sunday, Schweitzer has their big 7B Sunday, and that's a really cool event because local businesses and nonprofit groups have booths all around. There's free music. There are free lift rides up to the top. If you've never been to the top of Schweitzer Mountain, go do it this Sunday. You get a free ride up there, and it'll be fairly spectacular, I'm sure. On Saturday, we have a pretty big event happening. The Radius Film Festival is happening here in town. Earlier in the day, the Kinnickzu Land Trust is having its walk in the woods. It's a walk on the Pine Street Woods property that the Kinnickzu Land Trust is endeavoring to acquire, and that's at 10 a.m. on Saturday. You can sign up for that at kinnickzu.org. They're going to have another one again next Saturday. It's either you can either do a walk, or actually there's going to be Julie Meyer's going to be leading a bike ride. So if you're a mountain biker It is. It's pretty rolling terrain, but there is a uphill section too. So it's for somebody that's a little more experienced on a bike, probably.
Well, you've been kind of involved in that a little bit too, haven't you, Chris?
I have been. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And at 10 o'clock at the same place at the Pine Street Woods, Tim Martin at 10 will lead a gentle hike past flower-filled meadows through forests to an overlook while Julie leads the bike ride, the challenging bike ride, moderately challenging bike ride. So there's lots to do, and it's a beautiful piece of property, and it's a big celebration of what's trying to, Kinnexu Land Trust is trying to do.
We're not ready yet to have the big celebration because we still have to raise some more money to acquire that property, but they're within sight of the goal now. We can see the finish line, and with a little more of the generosity from the community, they can actually get this as a community forest.
As this is the Pine Street Woods. It's how many acres are they trying to acquire?
It's 160 acres. Wow. It's actually adjacent to the Sherwood Forest, where there are a series of really well-used and well-liked hiking and biking trails right now.
So it's adding to Sherwood Forest, which is already pretty spectacular. But it was kind of narrow and had a lot of stuff on the edges.
Yeah, yeah. The properties are very complementary. Anyways, that's going on. Anything else we should mention before we get into today's main event?
Well, I think that if folks want to know more what's going on, they can always go to krfy.org at our events.
Yeah, click on the community calendar and right there at the top of the page. Those are provided by sandpointonline.com, so you can go there as well. That, let's start talking with Bert Houts. He's with the Lake Pondere Toastmasters. Bert, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And so this is a new chapter in Sandpoint, is that correct?
Yes. Yes. We opened up, I believe it was about this time last year. I moved here in July, and I joined the club shortly afterwards. And I think we were four members. Now we're about 18. We're so close to being fully chartered under Toastmasters.
So it takes 18 to be
fully
chartered?
Well, 20. 20. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're when we get to 20, then, you know, we become really a bigger part of the whole Toastmasters experience.
An official local chapter.
Right.
And prior to that opening of this chapter, there was no Toastmasters here at all?
I believe there was. There was one for many years, and I wasn't here at that time, but I understand that it was a good club. And, you know, for whatever reason, they disappeared.
And what is your role in the Lake Pondere Toastmasters?
I'm one of the club officers. I'm the sergeant at arms, and I help guide the club along with several other officers. And it's a very supportive club. We help people from all skill levels who wish to improve their communication skills.
So we should probably back up for our listeners that aren't really familiar with Toastmasters. Tell us what Toastmasters is about.
Sure. Toastmasters is a unique program that builds communication and leadership skills, ultimately helping members to become much more self-confident.
It's not just for people that are interested in public speaking. It kind of reflects into all parts of your life, I would imagine.
It does. I mean, I can speak now to people out in the open very confidently. I've been able to give public speeches in other venues on things that I'm passionate about. I can talk interpersonally now with people in a way that I'm much more comfortable speaking with them interpersonally than I was for many years.
One of the things I always thought with Toastmasters, my father went to Toastmasters a long, long time ago. This has been around a long time. Is that maybe someone who doesn't feel a lot of confidence, but I don't think that's really true because it also can improve already confident skills in public speaking and personal interactions.
That's true. We get members of all skill levels. I used to be with Silicon Valley Entrepreneurs Toastmasters in Santa Clara. And there I was for a time. I served as an officer, also president, and then area director for District 101 in that area. And we have amazing speakers. We actually have amazing speakers at Lake Pondere Toastmasters as well. And it's a, you're right, it's a great experience where people of all skills can really improve their leadership skills, their communication skills, interpersonal communication, as well as public speaking. And
Walk us through what a typical meeting is like. You meet once a week. You meet every Wednesday now at 6 p.m. at the charter school.
Right.
And what happens at a meeting?
So the officers, which would include Graham, Deborah, Terry, and John and myself, we help guide the program. So set things up. Members come in. We have an agenda, and that agenda has been developed and sent out to all the members. We provide copies of that agenda. And it's a very structured program. And what's great about that structure is it provides order. It provides predictability for members that are going to be coming in to give, say, a prepared speech or to evaluate somebody else's speech. So guests come in. They see how we operate. And it enables people to first deliver prepared speeches. And then we have a time for impromptu speaking, which we open for guests as well as for members, called Table Topics. Following that is an evaluation process. Probably the most important part of the club activity is the opportunity for a person to speak as an evaluator, which builds leadership skills, but also, of course, for the person being evaluated in taking that information and building upon it.
So an evaluation might include what sorts of things, like your style of delivery, how fast you talk, how many times you go, because that's a favorite around here with Susie and me, the verbal pause.
So, yeah, we have people who count Oz and grammar and those things, also the time of the speech. But we're looking for use of body language, but also the content. You know, was it cogent? You know, what did it really empower the audience? You know, what was the vocal variety? Things like that. There's so much that's delivered in terms of good public speaking that can empower your audience.
When you're developing your speaking skills and not just being articulate in the moment, but being well prepared, how important is listening to developing those skills?
Well, that's probably the most important part of communication is listening. And listening carefully helps the evaluator and other participants involved in really understanding what's going on at the meeting. So it really helps to prepare everybody to be a better listener. So whether you're an awe counter, grammarian, timer, specifically the speech evaluator, they have a few minutes after the speech is given where they digest all the facts, they make their notes, and for 3 to 4 minutes give a summary of what went well and where some improvement could be made. I think that capability of being able to provide immediate assessment of a particular speech or comment to any one individual is a great skill for managers to have. So, yeah, and I think that our environment is very supportive, incredibly supportive, so we help people. I think this is a great opportunity for people just out of high school or college locally to network, but also to improve their communication skills in looking for work.
So a first-timer that comes and has no public speaking experience whatsoever, do you have like a checklist or is there a formal training that you offer?
Well, we provide a warm welcome and we tell them a bit about us. We like to hear from our guests, both at the beginning, at the very end of the program. We want to get their feedback. We ask them to come again. And they also have that opportunity, as I indicated, during Table Topics to be able to give that 1 to 2 minute impromptu speech, kind of test their speaking skills. And we have mentors who are there to help members be able to and help guide them through the process. And so I'm a mentor for a few people, and we have other mentors in the club. So it's a fantastic experience.
The program includes a prepared speaker. I mean, there's somebody that comes with a speech that's been designated. Okay, you know, this Wednesday you're on. Do they get to choose any topic? Is there how does it go with the prepared speeches?
So the prepared speeches, they can speak on anything they want to, as long as it's respectful. And ideas, the realm of ideas, are to me so important. I think that, so yes, they give a prepared speech. It could be on any topic. The projects that they follow currently are, they help them in how they speak and the ways in which they can become more effective. So one project would be inspiration, how to be a more inspiring speaker.
I just want to remind our listeners, if you've just tuned in, this is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie on this Wednesday, June 20th. We have guest in the studio, Bert Houts from the Sandpoint chapter of the Toastmasters called Lake Ponderay Toastmasters Sandpoint. And we're talking about what Toastmasters has to offer to folks. It can just walk in. They have a meeting every Wednesday. And it's very interesting. I'm wondering, how much commitment does someone, when they first walk in, well, probably not right away, but do you eventually join Toastmasters?
We don't push people to join, but we hope they will. And I think because we have so much to offer. And as we've grown, the chemistry within our club has been very energetic. It's really gone up. There's a very engaging group of people who come from all walks of life. So we have people who are very young. We have people who are retired. We have one person who I think has been with Toastmasters for 50 years. And it's, So 614 South Madison at the Forest Bird Charter School every Wednesday at 6 p.m.
And today is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So you got to all be there tonight. So take action. Be spontaneous.
Yeah.
Hear this and show up tonight and test out what Toastmasters is about. I want to go back to the idea of the prepared speech because, you know, every once in a while I end up having to give some kind of talk and I never feel like I really get prepared enough. In preparing for public speaking, do you advise people to practice it with your, you know, on your spouse or what steps do you recommend people take when they're trying to get ready for to give a public presentation?
That's a good point. We bring this up as mentors, but to write it out sometimes, or some people prefer just an outline. For a while, I was writing it out pretty much the entire speech. And it took me a while to get to the point where I could just settle with an outline. And sometimes I can give a speech without any outline at all. And it's so practicing with your spouse. Also, you can use your iPhone to basically video yourself and play that back.
Oh, that's a very helpful idea right there.
That way, that tool,
you can actually see, well, I'm weak.
You can see the body language. Yeah. Sometimes it's easier on the ego if you just do the audio only.
Exactly. Oh, yes. The phone camera is a harsh mistress.
Yes.
What I've found in the few times that I give talks, that I like to write stuff out. However, if I stand up there with a written speech, it sounds like I'm just reading. Because I tend to fall back on that as so much of a crutch, that doing the outline seems to give me a little more spontaneous presentation.
Yeah. Some members, they start off with notes in the first speech. That's good. We encourage people to practice as much as they can before they come up and speak so that they're not having to use notes. And so they're really prepping themselves hard.
I think there's different kinds of speeches also. There's informational speeches where you have a lot of information to get across in a short period of time. And then there's, I don't know if what you, inspirational speeches is what I would call it. And those seem that if you practice them enough, then when you actually get up and just speak, those come across very authentic.
Yeah.
But it does take a certain amount of going over the material in your mind and then just putting your notes aside and speak from the heart. So there's different ways. And do you go over all the different types of delivering information?
Yes, there's a whole series of advanced programs, advanced speeches, advanced manuals that we can work from, such as inspirational speaking, public speaking. There's a manual on speaking publicly where you end with a 45-minute seminar. There are projects that involve speaking from a book, Edgar Allan Poe, or readings from Edgar Allan Poe, and it can be, as you mentioned, those can be very inspiring.
So part of it is articulation, diction, how you deliver the speech, content, and then there's the element of actually standing there and bringing yourself to the table, so to speak, and sharing that part of yourself.
It's those pregnant pauses, you know, where you're really just letting it sink in, and as well as the volume and pitch of your voice. These are all really essential. And but I got to say, you know, when we go chartered in a few weeks, I anticipate we're going to be chartered in 2 weeks. It's going to be great because we will then be able to go into this new educational program, which Toastmasters has, called Pathways. And it is a much more robust means of basically improving the overall educational program within Toastmasters. It has a very solid foundation. So rather than one path from the Competent Communicator Manual, where you have 10 speeches as a basic, you have 10 different paths that you can choose from, ranging from visionary leadership to presentation mastery to effective coaching to innovative planning. These are 15 projects long, which would probably take most people about a year and a half to get through. And it's extremely robust. So I think I'm really looking forward to implementing that and being involved in that myself, rather than, say, the first speech just being an icebreaker and then moving on. You've got your icebreaker speech, which is about you or something that's important to you as your first speech. But then the second one is based on the feedback that you received, how you can improve that speech, or using that same feedback for a different second speech. The third project is evaluating somebody else's speech. And then after that, it's researching and planning your next presentation on something you know nothing about. So you see, it's got a lot of robustness in terms of how that's developed.
So at each meeting, do you have like a designated evaluator that it's their job to give the first round of feedback to the prime presenters?
Yes. So you can have multiple planned or prepared speeches. Each of those speakers has assigned a different speech evaluator. And then we also have a general evaluator who, you know, they're also offering a much more generalized overview of the meeting as well as the speeches. And, you know, we have the Occhiner and Grammarian and so on, too.
And you mentioned you have table topics as part of it as well. And that sounds like that's maybe a little more extemporaneous.
It is, and it's very fun. And it really adds, it loosens the tension quite a bit, adds a lot of fun, because the table topics master can make that be anything. And so it's a matter, you know, having people come up and giving the situation and then asking the person who's come up, okay, how would you address this?
Give us a sample of what a table topic might be.
Well, okay, so it might be something like you take a piece of paper out of a hat. You've got several pieces of paper you draw out of a hat. And it's how you can best support or critique one of the two options that are on that piece of paper. So it might be Coke versus Pepsi. Okay. So you would then suddenly become a Coke salesman. Mm-hmm. And how you can really promote that product in 1 to 2 minutes.
I was just thinking when you were talking, maybe we should give you one of those and see what you do with it.
Oh, wow.
Like, but you'd have like 1 minute. Okay, are you ready?
Okay.
Native plants.
I can tell you so much of nothing about native plants. I can tell you what an aspen looks like. I can tell you what a birch looks like. I can tell you what a few pine trees look like, but there is so much that I have to learn about native plants. I would love to learn more about the various floral species, about the various grasses, and really know that from my own yard, what is a weed versus a flower? And how, what's the best way to kill them?
The weeds, not the flowers.
Right.
So a little spontaneous speech there.
Yeah, so Susie's, she's like an old teacher type. She'll throw a test at you.
That's right.
That's great.
What's it called when there's a theater style that's kind of spontaneous? Ad lib is the other word I can...
Or ad hoc?
Yeah, there's another name for it where it's just spontaneous theater.
Extemporaneous?
Extemporaneous.
Yeah, there's another name, but I can't
another name. Well, okay.
Oh, we'll get Gene to think of it.
Okay, so you meet every Wednesday at the charter school at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, anybody listening could show up tonight?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And I want to point out that, you know, I think this is a great opportunity for so many people because everybody's got a story. Everybody listening, I'm sure, has a story that is very powerful to them. This gives them that opportunity. My example is to be able to deliver that story very effectively. My example is that I did a lot of work in sub-Saharan Africa, having volunteers from within the company be able to travel and provide education on many different topics. It went very successfully. And so that's something that is huge to me. And it's enabled me to actually speak publicly outside of the Toastmasters or outside of any work-related venue. And so being able to speak publicly on these things that we are passionate about is what Toastmasters gave me.
Hmm. And so you're just very close to having enough members to become chartered.
Yeah.
So you just need a couple more.
Yeah.
If somebody comes and they get interested, what level of participation? You meet every week. Do they have to be there every week?
No. Members can come as frequently as they want. You know, optimally, at least once a month is good. You know, and it's very open. Yeah.
Okay. And I assume there's a membership fee.
Yeah, yeah. Membership fee. After we get chartered, it's $45 is the Toastmasters International fee that is... it's every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bert Houts, representative from the Toastmasters Sandpoint chapter, almost chartered. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing the Toastmasters with us and a little picture of what's going on there.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and I hope you both show, and I hope many of your listeners do too.
Again, meeting tonight, 6 p.m., Charter
p.m.
School. However, if somebody can't make that but want to find out more, is there a phone number or a website for them to go to?
If you go to Meetup, you can get more information from our Meetup site. Also, we have a Facebook site, Lake Pondere Toastmasters.
Okay, so look on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Facebook and Meetup.
And I see here with some information you brought, there's a phone number with Debbie Ford, 208-283-9008.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you again. That was really inspiring. And we have a song to go out, but we will be right back with Gene Girth from 350sandpoint.org. This song is Louis Armstrong singing What a Wonderful World, one that Bert picked. And we'll be right back. Stay with us. And that was Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. He's right, you know. And we're back in the studios for the morning show with Chris and Susie on this Wednesday, June 20th. And our new guest is Jean Girth. She's one of the organizers of 350sandpoint.org. We're here to find out what's going on, what is the focus of this group that started a year or so ago. And tell us, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was trying to remember the date that we started. It was a couple of years ago when the Paris Climate Agreement was signed, and some of us didn't want to drive to Spokane to celebrate, so we celebrated here. And that was in November. I know it was right around Thanksgiving time. And since then, we've continued to meet. We've sponsored many events, and we're trying to just bring people's focus to the impacts of climate change and what we can do about it locally.
So tell us what 350 means.
350 is a number that stands for the parts per million of carbon, I believe it's carbon dioxide, in the atmosphere that is considered to be, so, and carbon is related to the global warming, directly related to the global warming. So 350 is considered the maximum amount that is sustainable for human civilization. And we are over 400 now. And the recent studies that I've seen say we're not going back. We're not going to be able to get below 400. So it's time to do something about it now.
So that would seem to indicate that there are going to be some changes due to a warmer climate. For instance, higher ocean levels.
Right. Well, there are changes.
There already are happening.
Right.
Yeah,
right, right. Right. We are in climate change.
I actually read something just a couple of days ago that there's been so much melting on the Antarctic ice sheet that it's brought up the ocean levels just from the melting there, almost a third of an inch.
Which is huge.
Which is big when it's spread out.
Right. Right. Yeah. So there's many impacts that are already apparent. There's too many to go into. What we try to do is focus on local, what we can do locally, what's happening locally.
I just wanted to back up to the idea of 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide and how that has, when you said it's been proven, it's been scientifically proven.
By 99% plus of the scientists, there really isn't any discussion anymore about facts.
I just wanted to be clear about that.
Right.
It's based on science.
It's based on science. And then people, I think what's happening now is people are seeing that it's true. And then sometimes they're saying, well, we don't know if it's human caused. And actually, that's pretty well proven too. But my reply to them is, at this point, I'm not sure that matters. You can believe what you want to believe. We have to do something about it, whether it's human caused or not.
So what can local people do?
Well, that's the
It's a global big, problem.
That's the big question. think global, act local. And 350 is Sandpoint. I think I feel like we're providing some infrastructure for that to happen, to be a focal point in the community so people can come with concerns or with something that they want to pursue. When we started 350, I'd been heavily involved in environmental groups in town, and I knew that we didn't need another nonprofit in town. We already have great nonprofits in town that are looking at the environment. Idaho Conservation League, Rock Creek Alliance, the Lake Ponderay Waterkeepers. So part of what we do is to support those groups and then continue the discussion about the impacts of climate change and how we can address it through those avenues. And one example, a really good example being ICL has done a lot of work about the Avista merger with Hydro One. Personally, I don't know about the business end of it. I do know that the ICL has worked with them so that they would phase out the Colstrip mine, which is, it gets its power from coal, and it's one of the biggest polluters in the Northwest of emitting carbon dioxide. So I'm for it. I'm for the merger for that reason, because it would at least immediately start that phase-out procedure for that power plant. And the power companies are seeing that this is not economical, too. So we just need to give them a little support to make it financially feasible.
Well, they had a hearing on this, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from I didn't attend, but I did read a report on it. And it sounded like most people that came to speak were opposed to the merger. I think basically for reasons that they don't like to see United States asset owned by a Canadian company and some you know, questioning of the motives of a big multinational corporation.
Right. Which, you know, I can see questioning that. I can understand the concern about that too. But it's just for me right now, getting the carbon dioxide levels down trumps almost anything else.
And
I'm not saying that it's a bad, that the merger's bad either, but I don't know the details of that.
Yeah.
And speaking about the merger and how 350 and you are looking at that, that's a new perspective in my mind, as far as that large coal strip mine and plant that's producing energy. Is that in Idaho, by the way?
No.
It's in Montana.
It's in Montana.
Yes.
So, but it affects everything, and it's close, and it's one of the biggest polluters. How do you get the word out about 350s looking at this? How do you disseminate that information out to people?
Well, we have a website. We do mass, we call them blasts. You know, we have a setup where if you join 350, you will get some of this information in your email. Again, you know, I try to promote the expertise that's already out there. So I'll send out things like, you know, okay, ICL just put out a new blog on this, so go look at that. Or the Riverkeeper, the Waterkeepers has done something. So that and, through networking, you know, we're trying to network with a lot of the good groups in town. We're having a meeting tomorrow, too, our general meeting. We'll be at the library on Thursday, the solstice, from 5 to 7, and it's a potluck. So we want people to get to know each other.
And that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Okay.
Right.
It looks like there's also a meeting on the Second Lake Rail Bridge.
Right. And that's, yes, I wanted to talk about that too. The Wild Idaho Rising Tide is another group that's in town that is active in a lot of these issues. And so they're doing a presentation at the Gardenia Center today at
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Yes. And I believe it's a slideshow and a discussion. And this is about BNSF's proposal to construct three new bridges through Sandpoint to double track the trains going through North Idaho.
Yeah. So a second long bridge plus also bridges that go over Sand Creek to get to the new
right.
long bridge.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, it's on that issue, again, it's... trains are a more efficient form of transportation than trucks, and the train does take, you know, it provides that service for a lot of stuff. I haven't had all my coffee today.
Well, they do haul tons of goods, but of course they also haul coal and oil.
Right, and that's the issue: is are we going to invest in our infrastructure to bring more coal and oil through Sandpoint?
Mm-hmm. And the argument BNSF has is, or not the argument, but their statement on this, adding these rail bridges, is that it will help with congestion at crossings and things like
right.
this.
And I, again, I haven't gone to all the meetings either, but I don't think all the information is out there. And that's why the request for the environmental impact statement, because I think we at least deserve to know what the plan is and more about the details of what would be coming through Sandpoint and what the impact of that is. Mm-hmm. And that's been a request from the Sandpoint City Council. ICL supports that.
That there be an environmental impact statement performed on this proposed bridge.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Right. It costs some more money and it's going to slow things down, but we need to be prepared for if there's going to be more oil and coal going through, we really need to know that our emergency cleanup stuff is exactly what it should be. Lots of details.
And we are here in the studios of 88.5. This is the morning show with Chris and Susie on Wednesday, June 20th. And we're here with Jean Girth. She's one of the organizers and represents 350sandpoint.org. And when you were talking about how 350 takes information from other groups that are already doing policy statements and deep research into things that affect our environment, it sounds like 350 Sandpoint just kind of filters that information out to a larger group, a big mailing list.
Yeah, that's one of the things. And then, you know, the other things that we've done and we're continuing to work on is the one was the Plant for the Planet. We know that's a project that was started in Germany by a 9-year-old or something, you know, many 7-8 years ago. And it's the kids saying, let's plant the trees and stop waiting for the adults to do something. This is something we can go out and do. So we're getting that started here. Winter Ridge gave us we had one of the coins in the jar thing, and we got some money from that. So hopefully we're going to get that going next year, is the planting. Other things that we want to discuss this with the general membership. This is the steering committee coming up with some ideas. We're going to be planning an event for September 8th that is Rise for Climate, and that's at the direction of the National 350 chapter. And this is an anticipation of the Global Action Climate Summit, which is going to take place in San Francisco in September. So we're trying to keep a local presence for these national movements, because it's really hard to keep track of all of that. So we will be doing something in anticipation of that summit in San Francisco. We also, one of the things I really want to do more on is to work with county, city, and state officials and politicians and staff on planning. You know, this is a huge thing, and it's impact. Well, the cover of Sandpoint Magazine had quite a nice article on wildfire around here, and that's something that's directly observable by people, and it's directly impacted by things like planning and zoning, and this whole interface between wildlife and urban areas. So that's another thing, you know, really you can do locally is to pay attention to what's going on in the planning world that's going to impact your life here. And with that, I'd just like to mention Project 7B, which is dedicated. They've got a great website, and they are, their mission that I read was to just make this, all of these processes transparent at the county level. I'm not sure if they do city also, but I know they do Bonner County. So there's a lot of good information there about how to be involved in the planning process in Bonner County.
Yeah, that's Project 7B. I believe there's a Project 7B website. There's also a 350sandpoint.org website where people can find out more information about the organization.
Yes, we have a website that is in need of updating, but there is information there. And on that website, you can join our mailing list. And right now, I think that's probably our most effective communication platform. But just join the mailing list. I don't send out a ton of emails, and I try to keep them pretty much locally oriented. So you're not going to get pleas for everything in the world.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how much interface and involvement does 350sandpoint.org have with the 350.org?
We're part of their team. Uh-huh. We take part of some of their trainings. There was a gal from our group recently who went to a training that was sponsored by the national organization and the regional organization, and it was a train the trainer type of thing. So she's going to be presenting about how to run effective campaigns. And that's for political stuff and, you know, any other kind of campaign where you want to enlist public participation. So that's coming up. 350 also sponsored, last summer we did Saving Our Future, which was bringing kids over from Seattle who were involved in the lawsuit. It's Juliana versus the United States, and these are kids who are suing the United States government for the right, because they say their right to a clean and livable environment has been violated by the policies of the United States. That trial is coming up in Eugene on October 29th, and I hope to go. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of networking, information gathering, and sharing, learning how to put on a good women's march, work with other groups, things like that.
Right. And I think some philosophical direction has been very helpful. Bill McKibben, who founded 350 at the beginning of this year, made a statement and said, we need to get out of our silos. We can't all just be working on one project at a time. And that's, I think, been great advice. It hasn't made it easy to organize, but by getting out of the silos, to me, with climate change, that means that you look at the impact. You know, where climate change is impacting people who, poor people, a lot more than other people. It's impacting people who are sick a lot more, because there's a lot of health ramifications to this. You don't have health insurance. How do you go to the emergency room or get good care when the smoke comes and your asthma kicks up? There's so many aspects to it that we have to think very, very broadly. And at the same time, we have to stay focused enough to get something done that people can kind of, you know, see and latch onto.
So if you have a, we're going to be out of time here in just a minute, but if you have a message to our listeners about getting involved, I mean, how, if they get inspired, how do they do that?
Get involved, you know, come to our meeting, send me an email if you, you know, want to have somebody to talk to just to see what's going on. I haven't mentioned CANS yet. That's the people working on the smelter, against the smelter in Newport. They're hopefully going to have some people coming to our meeting tomorrow at Thursday. So pay attention, call somebody, talk.
You know, the smelter issue is an interesting one, because it seems like there's a place that people involved in climate change issues would find common ground with people that are more conservative. They reflexively are against the whole climate change idea, it seems to me. But there's common ground there, because there's a lot of very conservative people and a lot of more liberal people that are kind of united in opposing that smelter.
Right. And that's what we're looking for, is that common ground, because we all need to move forward on some of these issues. Healthcare is another common ground with the petition to get the Medicaid expansion on the ballot. It's going to be on the ballot in November. And there's huge numbers of people who are supportive of that on throughout the political spectrum. The other thing I would say to people too, and it is, I think faith groups are going to play a really big part in all of this. And if you're part of a church, start talking about it. I talk about it with my group of Buddhist friends. There's a book I'm reading called World is Lover, World is Self. And it talks about, it's very hard to deal with this issue. It's emotionally hard. It's spiritually difficult. It's also a wonderful opportunity. I mean, things are going to change, and we can be part of that big change. The whole culture is going to change as the world changes. So take part.
And you did mention a couple of meetings. There's one tonight, Wednesday, June 20th, 7 p.m. in the Gardenia Center, to talk about the second Lake Rail Bridge. And then there's one tomorrow as well.
Right, at the library for 350, a potluck party. If you have questions, you can email me at jean@350sandpoint.org. You can get on the website and find the info at 350sandpoint.org email also. But
Or look you up on Facebook. You're there too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're, thank you, Chris. I'm going to that thing next week about using Facebook more effectively.
So,
who's putting that on?
What's that?
The use Facebook effectively.
Well, that's Keoki and...
Keoki and the Sandpoint Chamber.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, that's right. I think I heard about that. I think I should go too.
Yeah, okay. Thank you guys for this opportunity. Yeah. And thank you for what you do here.
Yeah, thank you, Jean. Jean Girth from 350sandpoint.org with the information. And if you didn't get a chance to hear our whole broadcast this morning, we did record it. It will be on our website at krfy.org later in the day, so you can revisit and listen some more. And what else do we have going on, Chris, that we'd like to share with our morning show listeners?
As always, there are a lot of things going on around town. We mentioned a couple of those at the top of the hour, but they include... 7B Sunday happening this Sunday up at Schweitzer. It's a big, it's kind of the day of the year that Schweitzer really reaches out to locals with free chairlift rides and music, and all kinds of local businesses and nonprofit groups will be up there to check out. There's a walk in the woods Saturday at the Pine Street Woods, put on by Kinnexu Land Trust. If you want to do that, go to kinnexu.org. There's the Sandpoint Radius Film Festival. That's also happening Saturday. That's a terrific event that we haven't talked much about, but it's going to include 20 Pacific Northwest short films and 3 film blocks. So if you enjoy independent film, you should definitely check this one out. The festival starts at 1 p.m. with the first block, and then there's a second block of films at 4 p.m. and a third block at 7 p.m. You can do them all or just one of them.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing just to have it come here to Sandpoint like that.
And you can check out more about that in the calendars or go to sandpointradius.com or panda.org, either place to learn more about that. That's happening on Saturday. And, of course, there's always tons of music going on around town.
There's a lot of music, and that's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
You know, a couple weekends ago, on the 8th and 9th, KRFY had their annual membership drive. It was a success. It was a success because people showed up here, had a good time. We got to interview people for 12 hours, 2 days that we were live on the radio, and it was a lot of fun. And we want to thank everyone who showed up and who donated and made a donation and showed support. But also, we want to let people know that this is ongoing. KRFY is here. We have a community radio station here in our community. And we're very fortunate, according to lots of people, to have free commercial-free radio. So if you would like to make a donation, you can always go to our website, krfy.org, and make a donation.
Or you can call us at 208-265-2992. You may get a voicemail. If you do that, just leave your name, and we'll call you back, and we'd be happy to get a donation, help support this community radio station. We are completely non-commercial. We do have underwriters, which are very valued, but it's donations from listeners that really give us the funds it requires. There's a lot of expenses involved in putting on a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week radio station. So that support is greatly appreciated.
We're growing. We have new broadcasters. We do trainings. Some of our newer shows, Harriet Pink, and the morning after, that's on Sunday from 12 to 2.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one yet, but I heard she's
nice.
Great.
It's really good.
Harriet's a local gal.
Yeah.
That's a pseudonym, in case you didn't
tune in and
figure
get
that
to
out,
listen
but,
to Harriet.
Yeah.
And we have a new person, Bob, who is doing the Blues Hour on Sunday, and Jennifer, who's doing the 80s on Saturday night. So we're growing. We're really becoming the true spirit of community radio here. We have also great syndicated news, obviously, Democracy Now!, Letters in Politics, all kinds of stuff, Bioneers on Wednesday night, stuff that Michio Kaku.
Exploration on Tuesday.
Your favorite
Michio
show.
Michio Kaku, yeah, it really is. He's just great. He does interviews on all. His interview last night was on. We're talking with a guy that was kind of debunking all kinds of things like Bigfoot and aliens and stuff like that. As scientists are pretty hard-headed guys about, they want to see the evidence before they, although I will say, he did say, I don't remember the name of the guy Dr. Kaku was talking with, but that guy did say, well, there could be a large primate out there. So,
held out some hope
for Bigfoot.
And Michio Kaku always makes it kind of fun and interesting. He just seems like someone who just
he's
loves
an energetic,
science.
Great interviewer. So if you're not familiar with our complete lineup, go to our website, krfy.org. Up at the top, click on the button that says schedule. You got to blow it up to really read it because it shows what's playing every day of the week. But check it out. There are some things that you might be surprised are in our lineup, and you might say, hey, I don't usually listen to the radio at 6 p.m. on a Friday, but I think I'm going to tune into that one because it sounds good.
Listen on purpose. That's my new...
Listen with intent.
With intention. So we want to let you know that tomorrow on the morning show, Jim and Jack will be visiting with some of the singers from the Sandpoint High School Men's Choir. That's always fun. They're amazing. So tune in at 8 tomorrow. And we're going to go out with a Beach Boys song, Good Vibration, because today is Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys' birthday. He was born in 1942. Here's Good Vibration, and we hope you have a beautiful day.
A beautiful day. And tomorrow's summer.
That's right. Here you go.
Bye now.